The guy grinned, but that only made me wish he'd take his hands off me sooner. When he finally let me go, I grabbed my things and went straight to the duty-free shop. Hello, giant Toblerones. Sign me up. That was the one pleasant thing about going to the airport. I bought two, stored them both in my hand luggage, and went to find my departure gate. LAX was huge, but luckily I didn't have to go far. Walking over arrows meant to point me in the right direction, I passed by signs that said goodbye in dozens of languages before I reached where I was going. The gate was empty, so I grabbed a chair near the window, took out my book, and started in on my Toblerone. Things went fine until the letter I'd stuffed between the pages fell into my lap, reviving memories I'd sworn were dead and buried. I felt something hollow in the pit of my stomach as a stream of images rose in my mind, and what had been a relaxing day took a nosedive. 9 months earlier. The news that Nicholas was leaving reached me through unexpected channels. No one had wanted to talk to me about him, and it was clear he'd told everyone not to in no uncertain terms. Even Jenna was mum on the subject, and I knew they'd seen each other more than once. The worry I saw on her face sometimes must have reflected things she'd seen when she and Lion had gone to Nick's apartment. Her back was against the wall. Once again, that was my fault. I hadn't seen Nick again, and I couldn't have predicted how he'd act. Just 2 weeks after we broke up, boxes with my things in them appeared at my apartment. When I saw N in an animal crate, I had an anxiety attack and cried my eyes out until I was exhausted. Our poor little kitty. Now he was all mine. I had to leave him with my mother because my roommate was allergic. It was hard to say goodbye, but I didn't have another option. That period in my life when I just cried and cried, I referred to as my dark ages, because that was how it was. I was in a black tunnel with no lights, sunken in shadows, unable to come out even when the sun shone, even when I had a light on by my bed. I'd had almost daily panic attacks until I finally went to the doctor, and she sent me straight to a psychiatrist. At first, I wasn't remotely interested in therapy. But I guessed it did help me because at last I started getting up in the morning and doing the basic things a human being did. Until that night. The night I realized Nick was leaving. That everything was over. And that this time it was forever. I found out through an everyday conversation at the cafeteria on campus. Even the college girls knew more about Nick than I did at that time. This girl was gossiping about my boyfriend, sorry, ex-boyfriend, and without realizing it, informed me that he was headed to New York in just a few days. Something took hold of my body and forced me to get into my car and drive to his apartment. I had tried not to think about that place, about all that had happened, but I couldn't let him leave, not without seeing him, not without at least talking. It was our first time seeing each other since the night we'd broken up. With my hands trembling, my legs on the verge of buckling over the asphalt, I made it to his building, got in the elevator, and stood in front of his door. What was I going to tell him? What could I do to make him forgive me, to keep him from going, to get him to love me again? I nearly fainted as I rang the doorbell. I was scared, sad, yearning as he pulled the door open. We didn't say anything at first. We just looked. He hadn't expected me. I'd almost guarantee his plan had been to go without looking back, to forget me, to pretend I'd never existed. He didn't realize I wouldn't make it that easy for him. The tension was almost palpable. He looked incredible. Dark jeans, white shirt, hair messy. Incredible, but there was something more. He always looked good. But that look, that light that appeared in his eyes whenever he saw me arrive, was gone. And with it, the magic that had entranced us whenever we'd stood across from each other. He was so handsome.